Hey everyone, just a heads up, we had a bit of audio trouble recording this podcast. An echo effect that lasts for about 6 or 7 minutes starts at the 3 minute mark. It won't last the whole time, so hang in there. It's worth it. Enjoy.
Thank you. Welcome everybody, and welcome Casey to your new role. Yes, that was a very muted response. Although they've been here for years, Malatz came here with no children. And they heard the command, be fruitful and multiply, and they did. And so now with 4 kids, she's able to have the margin as they're starting to get a little bit older to serve in ways that have been on her heart since before having children. So that we really rejoice in. And do thank you for your generosity. Next week, we'll give like a little bit of update. We're at the halfway point of our fiscal year. Our fiscal year runs from September from October 1 all the way through to September. And so we'll give a little reporting on that, and God's been faithful through you. Now I'm going to pray, and we're going to end an 8-week kind of interlude in 1 Corinthians. If you're new here, we've been traveling for 8 weeks thinking through what are the big questions in our day when it comes to the way of Jesus and sexuality. And so we've done this on purpose in 1 Corinthians because Paul writes, by the Holy Spirit, a letter about their real issues. And we have real things that we're facing as a culture, and the church and the culture are asking all sorts of questions that have not been asked this loudly before. And so we've been able to answer those with a calm tone, not trying to rile people up, but with thoughtful truth, because God actually has real answers to these big questions in life. So let's pray, and we're going to have probably what are the most challenging of all, and I save the best for last. One of the most challenging questions today is about gender and fluidity and what it means to be an engendered person. What does that actually mean? And never in the history of the world have there been so many variations of an answer to that question. We're living in a wild time, and so we need grounded truth. Holy Spirit of God, thank you that you're all wise. And I thank you, God, that you've given us words to hold on to. So it's not my opinion, their opinion, our opinion, the other's opinion. You've given us words that are holy and right and true and stand before time and in time and after time. Lord, your words will endure for eternity because they come from you. So Holy Spirit of God, help us to know what is right and to discern between truth and error, between what's real and what we feel. God, we admit we can't even discern at times because our hearts are moved and our mind is moved, but we don't want to move in directions that are unhealthy. So God, help us, we pray.
And so we've been able to answer
Jesus'
those,
name.
Amen. A calm tone.
So I just want to say well done. I've been hearing and getting feedback from the community groups, and you have done so well as we've navigated some really hard topics about worldview and sexuality. And these things really matter. Understanding a biblical worldview actually matters in today's society. And understanding that we are filled with grace and truth, both. 100% both, because that's the way of Jesus. This matters. And we've also talked about how to learn how to disagree agreeably.
This is the history of the world.
Which is so foundational to having discussion and showing people that the way of Jesus in areas where we don't agree, there is a way to do it well. And in a culture that's loud and louder and loudest, we're learning to speak peaceably.
And thank you, God.
It's been so good. The series has gone way better than I could have ever imagined. But remember, we're not going to talk about concepts today. When you think about gender, we actually are talking about people.
And stand
a people to be loved.
Time and in time.
The whole point of bringing this up is not to be smarter about issues, but to see past just the initial issue into the heart and soul of a person. All of these things are not just political sound bites. We're talking about real people going through real things.
What's real,
and we're real people trying to follow the way of Jesus. And so God help us. But it was heartbreaking. I don't know if you caught the headlines this week or if you're tracking with the story of Next Benedict, the high school student from Oklahoma. And Next identified as transgender.
So
and if you follow the storyline,
I've been hearing
because of that, was bullied in school, and because of that, that led to a fight at school. Really, and then the next day, she was found deceased.
And
this week, the report came out in the autopsy that she was a victim to her own apparent suicide. And so,
that had
a big heart.
Both. 100% both, because that's the way of Jesus. This matters.
Just break our heart.
How to learn how to disagree agreeably.
It's someone who's
which is so foundational to having
wrestling
and showing
with their own identity, with
the way of Jesus,
feel like the best way is to take their
where
life.
We don't agree. There is a way
the
to
only
do
way
it well.
Is to take their life.
And
so,
loud and louder and louder.
If you're new,
we're learning.
Here's my disclaimer. You have to listen to all 8 weeks, because today's discussion is part of the larger discussion. And it's built on the foundation. And I will confess at the outset that I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm a Bible teacher and a theologian, and a lightweight at that. But also hear this. You don't need a degree in medical studies, and you don't need a degree in psychology to understand the way of Jesus. And the way of Jesus transcends all other professions and all other ideologies, because he's God made flesh. So I'm not coming as an expert in one field, but that doesn't mean what I'm gonna say has any less significance in life and in the world that we live in. One helpful resource I wanna throw out there that a lot of this teaching is leaning on is by Dr. Preston Sprinkle. I'd recommended The People to Be Loved, Why Homosexuality is Not an Issue. But he wrote a second book called Embodied, Transgender Identities, the Church, and What the Bible Has to Say. I could not recommend it enough. It is balanced, it is thoughtful, and he wrestles with the science and with scripture and with cultural trends, and I think comes to really helpful conclusions. Like any author, do you agree with 100% of every author other than the Bible? No, but I found it to be the most helpful thing. If you're going to pick up one resource, I would highly recommend it. That goes along with today's discussion. And I will say, today is gonna really feel more like classroom lecture than Bible study. And this is important, because what I'm suggesting, especially to my younger friends here, is that you, from the time that you were born, you've been inundated with ideas that are grounded in worldview. And so you don't even realize, like if I were to say to you, the world is flat,
in
you'd laugh.
Medical studies, and you don't.
There was a time when they thought the world was flat.
Understand the way of Jesus.
But now that we've come to what we know that the world isn't
all
flat.
Other professions. And
but
all
it, but in a similar way, you've been fed information about what
so I'm not
gender is and isn't, and it comes from a worldview. 100 years ago, a lot of our curriculum was grounded in biblical thinking. It wasn't necessarily Christian,
that a lot of this
always, but it was grounded in the reality of the Bible and the truthfulness of Scripture. So a lot of the curriculum, even in public systems, was grounded in a worldview that was aligned with the Bible. Even if not 100%, it was consistent with the Bible. But what's happened in the last century is, as the culture has gone further away from the Bible, new curriculum, new ideologies, and new views of the world have come into play. And so those of you who are older, you understand the differences between worldview, because your education is different than today's education. And so I just want to simply suggest, hear me clearly. What I'm going to say will probably contradict a lot of what you're hearing in your classroom, in the boardroom,
and this
at work, in culture, and definitely in pop society, whether that's music, whether that's influencers, whether that's movies, a lot of what I'm going to say is going to sound like a clash. And I'm not clashing to clash. I'm simply sharing biblical ideas that go against what the culture is screaming. But what you and I have to do is be calm and evaluate. Is what I'm hearing in culture in line with the way of Jesus? If it is, I keep it. If it is not, what I need to do is to learn, especially my younger friends, Learn to think critically about what you're hearing, because just because a smart person said it doesn't mean it's true.
100 years ago, a lot of
just because they're very learned and they're an expert in their field does not mean they created the universe.
Always.
It doesn't mean
it
that. So what I want to learn, and as a community, what we want to learn is to not be critical at people, but learn to think critically
that was aligned with the
and
Bible.
Come to conclusions that are consistent with the Bible. Are you with me? All right. So I'm going to recap basic definitions so you can all get on Google. But because we've gone through so much, let's just start at the beginning. And when we say LGBTQIA+, what are we actually saying? I'm going to throw simple definitions just to help ground us. Not everyone agrees with these, but I think they're basic. Lesbian, women with romantic orientation towards other women. I think we get that. Gay, men with romantic orientation towards other men. I think we get that. Bisexual, just bi. Romantic orientation towards more than one gender. Bi meaning two or multiple. I think we get that. It could be at the same time, could be other times, could be fluid.
Okay,
that's one category. Then there's another category, transgender, which is different than the others. That's where someone's personal identity doesn't match their sex at birth. And we're going to focus on that today. But let's look at the others. Queer or questioning. This person doesn't conform to cultural norms around gender or sexuality. This is a broad category. If someone says, I'm queer or I'm questioning, it doesn't mean that they're gay or lesbian or transgender. It can mean lots of things. Intersex. This is a completely different category. It's a variety of situations where a person is born with reproductive anatomy that doesn't fit the normal male or female categories. There's more than 30 expressions of this. It's where someone who's physically born, whether they are male but born with some different parts or no parts, this is a complex category. Asexual, again, is unique. That person doesn't experience sexual attraction towards individuals of any gender. And this isn't because they're trying to abstain or live a life where they don't have those feelings like many other people do. Here's a reason to throw all, and then the plus is because depending on what website you go to, there's a lot more letters.
Men with a romantic orientation towards.
Here's why I wanted to throw this out there is because not everyone agrees with all those definitions. And I just want you to see that is a wide swath and a big, vast array of types of person. And I don't want to easily throw them into a category because when you look at these categories, they're about as wide and as diverse as it comes. I'm going to throw one other thought on there. Is there's a big difference between political ideology and a person's personal expression. So, I'm going to deal with the person's personal expression and the Bible. But on top of that, you got to know that there are people who are just against the way of Jesus or live with a worldview that's incongruent with the Bible. And so, of course, if they're in a position of power, they're going to try to influence with their worldview. By the way, we are hoping to do the same thing. So don't get so innocent for a second. Christians want to lead culture with a Christian worldview, right? So just know that there are, of course, going to be conflicts in the way we think and feel and see things. But there's this political thing, we're in an election year, where people are heightened about, I'm not talking about those agenda and national movements. What I want us to get is personal. How do we love and share good news with everyone? In order to do that, we need to make a very clear distinction. And this is going to sound base or basic to some of you, but for some, it may be aha. All right, what is a person's sex? Okay, I told you, we're just doing definitions here. What is a person's sex? According to the Oxford English Dictionary, it is, quote, either of the two main categories, male and female, into which humans and many other living things are divided on the basis of their reproductive functions. So people and other animals are sexed individuals in that they are male and female. This has to do with biology, right? The reason I bring that up is because we can get confused because there's so many words being thrown out there. What is gender then? This is where things already start to diverge. Now, widely accepted definition today is the, quote, psychological, social, and cultural aspects of being male or female. So sex as biology and gender in popular ideology and in popular understanding is not necessarily connected to biology. It is someone's psyche or social understanding or cultural fit. By the way, up until the 1950s, sex and gender were synonyms in the culture. It wasn't till some psychologists in the 50s started experimenting with thoughts about is someone's gender different than their born sex, male or female. So here's what you need to know. In the history of humans, this is a rather new idea. And this is a whole new way of thinking that has exploded on the scene, but it is a rather new concept. Because 100, 200, 300 years ago, to be male was to be male in sex and in gender. You expressed your maleness. And the same with female. Okay, let's throw another layer. Are we confused yet? Okay, let's throw another layer. Let's make it better. What is gender identity? Okay, gender identity is commonly described as one's internal sense of self as male, female, both, or neither. What I'm bringing up, I'm not saying this is a biblical worldview, by the way. Calm down. What I'm saying is, when we're having a discussion, we need to know what the terms are, right? And so you have sex, your biology, you're male or female. Now, there is intersex in that some humans are made with reproductive organs that are not common to most people. I don't have time to get into that today. We're going to do a podcast about some of these odds and ends questions that people have asked. And listen to the podcast. We'll get into it there. But there's someone's sex, there's someone's gender, which is known as how society sees them or culture sees them. But then there's identity. So now it's popular to say, well, I don't know what gender I want to express. What is my identity? How do I see myself? And how do I invite you to see me? And this is disconnected, again, in today's discussion, it's disconnected from biology. They're seen as two distinct and different realities. And again, if I get pushback on it, that's okay. I'm just saying the way it is. That's how the culture sees it. Now, is that a biblical worldview is our question. Thinking through how our culture sees things, I'm going to give you the short answer, and then I'm going to tease it out, okay? The short answer is no. But I need to pull back and not, like, what? What are you saying? Are we, like, backwards? No. The Christian worldview comes before all these other worldviews, by the way. And the Bible is written and given by the creator of all things. So I can rest comfortably in saying there are two different ways of seeing reality or multiple ways of seeing reality, but I want us to look at what a biblical view of my sex and my gender and what my identity ought to be in light of the way of Jesus. Now, if your head is spinning right now, that means you've listened. Your head ought to be spinning. This is like, what? Now, for those of you who are in high school right now, you've had tons of classes about this, probably since elementary school, and you have been fed information. That's gonna, like, I'm already pushing back on something you've heard, like from your teachers and from your the people that you look up to or respect. They're supposed to be, what I'm here to suggest to you is that many of them are coming from a worldview that is out of step with the way of Jesus. And so what they're saying is consistent with their worldview, but that ought to be tested. Now, side note, this is important for all of us. When you're having conversations with people, that we take the humble position and the honest position. When someone says, I, and then fill in the blank, I am, or I do, or I want to, I would ask them something as simple as, can you tell me what you mean by? It's really helpful. That we don't assume we know what they mean by what they're saying because we're swimming in a world of words where the people are using the same words in completely different ways. So does the Bible give a distinction between someone's biology, their sex, and their gender? Where do we begin? Okay, we're going to look at a few texts. None of them are new, but they're really important. You're not going to find a lot of Bible verses that go clearly about gender, and here's why. Because the first one is the assumption for the rest of the Bible. All right, Genesis 1, 26 through 27. We've looked at it almost every week. In the creation story, God said, this is the first chapter of the Bible, let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock, over all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. And so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So the reason that you don't see in the Bible tons of actual texts about gender and sex is because it's answered in the first chapter of the Bible that God is the one who creates, not humans, not mom and dad. God is the one who creates. And as the creator, in his own image, he chose to make mankind. And the way he did that was to completely put his image in male and completely put his image in female. And in completely putting his image in these two similar but very, very different humans, this is the basis by which we're to see God and his world. So you say, well, what's the difference? Male and female are differentiated by one, the presence or absence of a Y chromosome, that's biology, internal reproductive organs, external sexual anatomy, and an endocrine system that produces secondary sex characteristics. This is part of who we are. We are not the same. Male is not the same as female, and neither is better than the other. God made us different and unique so that he could bring male and female together and make them one in something we call marriage. And out of the beauty of them being together and God being at work in his creative action that is still seen, children and their children and their children and generations, this is how God made the world to be. But we're not just biology. This is so important, friends. We got to be honest. We're not just male and female and biology. Something is different about us. What is it? Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Well, that's interesting. I thought breathing in oxygen made him a living being. I thought coming out of a womb made them a living being. No, actually, it's more unique and mysterious and beautiful than that. God breathed his life into human life. And so men and women are not just animals. And the whole idea of the sanctity of life and the meaning and the beauty of life comes from this revelation, that every life is valuable in God's sight. Every life matters, whether male or female or intersex, whether like many people having all of their parts or not having all of their parts, whether their intelligence goes to the Einstein genius or for whatever reason, through accident, through the way that they were born, they remain in terms of their intelligence as a child. It doesn't make it. Every life has God life breathed into it. Amen. And so this is world, friends, this is worldview. And this has nothing to do with the series on sexuality, but our view of the world shapes the way we live. And the horrors in our world come about when we devalue life and don't see that God is the author of life, and God is the one who starts life. Man, I don't know why I got caught up in this, but God's the one who ends life. And so there are lots of discussions that need to be had today, need to take place in light of our culture's exceedingly abandonment of a biblical worldview leads to a devaluing of life. It just happens. Because when you're more important than the creator, everything becomes a mess. Okay, that's about life, but we're more than biology. So what you need to know is Genesis 1 and 2, connects our male and femaleness as part of our identity as being made in the image of God. And so, okay, what about Jesus? Does Jesus talk about gender fluidity? Yes. In a passage that doesn't have to do with gender fluidity. When asked the question about divorce and the dissolving of a marriage, here's what Jesus does. Matthew 19, we've read this tons of times. Haven't you read that at the beginning, the Creator, quote, made them male and female, and he said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. It sounds like we just had a wedding ceremony, right? And what we need to remember when thinking about a biblical worldview is Jesus affirms the worldview given through Moses in the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and the rest of Scripture. All of Scripture is consistent, and Jesus affirms it. And Jesus doesn't just talk about marriage. Jesus goes back further and says, don't forget, God created the male and female. God created each human uniquely in his image, but different. Okay, what about after Jesus? How did the Jesus people see these distinctions? And again, I'm getting to it, but all this foundation, it really matters. 1 Corinthians 6, we're going to look at it in a couple of weeks, but I'll just read it for today. It says, flee sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? By the way, Genesis 1:2, created in the image of God and in his image indwelt by the presence of God, we're not just animals with higher intelligence. We are temples. We are spaces where God dwells. Who's in you? Who have you received from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. This is not written to non-Jesus followers. Hear me. This is written to Jesus followers. Now, everyone ought to follow Jesus. And in following Jesus, we ought to gain a biblical worldview. But this is God's word to those of us who follow Jesus. We are not our own, and we don't get to tell God how we're going to interpret his creation. We belong to him. We are living beings because he's given us the breath of life. And if you follow Jesus, you have God's spirit living within you. And so the way you see your life and the way you treat your life actually really matters. Here's an important statement, giving a biblical worldview. We can't disconnect our biology from who we really are. We're embodied creations. God created us, and he breathed in us the breath of life, whether you want to call that soul, spirit. We can have other conversations about that, but we're not just biology, but our personhood is connected to our biology. You're a human that has the Spirit of God living in you. You cannot separate those. As Preston Sprinkle in this book reminds us, you can't separate the real you from the embodied you. There is no real you apart from your body. It's why the Bible is emphatic about Jesus' followers honoring God with their bodies, because the body is not like, unnecessary. It's why in the new heavens and the new earth, when we enjoy God for all creation, we will be embodied. We will not be, you know, little floaty things with diapers and harps. You know, we will not be spirits just floating the universe, enjoying God's essence. That sounds nice. It's baloney. It makes no sense. You and I will have a resurrected body. So the body, now why? I don't know why, but God said it. And evidently to him, the body matters. So if the body matters to God, it ought to matter to me. And what I'm simply saying is that is a Christian worldview, and a Christian worldview includes that we are living in a broken world. We are living in a world that is feeling the impact of rebellion. And so Genesis 1 and 2, God creates. And Genesis 3 and 4 and following, people just do their own thing. And so a lot of the brokenness in our world in this area and in all areas of life stems from the brokenness and the repercussions of rebellion against God by others, by generations, by generations, by generations. So while we do uphold the ideal that we are embodied humans, what makes me human is that I have a body, and the body actually matters, and God made them male and female. While that is true, what is also true is that we're seeing all sorts of expressions that are unlike God, and people are impacted by that brokenness in the way they think and in the way they feel and in the way they want to be seen. And so sometimes it's because of sexism that someone wants to change. Other times because of their internal feelings, they want to reinterpret their gender. Because again, in a biblical worldview, gender and sex are connected inextricably. But in our culture, they are not. And so before we move on to some key questions, and then we're going to send you home, what about eunuchs? What about intersex? Again, I don't have time for that here, but we're going to cover that in the next podcast. But now I just thought, okay, we understand that there are differences. Some key questions we can ask ourselves and in your community group. I invite you to continue this discussion because it really does matter. How do we address the variety of gender identities today? How do we address it? Well, as I say there, first, we need to realize that some of the differences stem from gender stereotypes. Now, this is something some of you may not have thought of before, but every culture has a stereotype or stereotypes of what it means to be manly or feminine. And those can be really unhealthy and confusing to people who don't fit the stereotypes, whether it's, you know, the stereotype that a guy is strong and plays sports and loves cars and grunts, you know, or women wear dresses, like to cook and play with dolls. Those are not biblical, they're cultural. And as you travel the world, all you have to do is get on a plane, go around the world, you realize, wow, in various cultures, they're seen differently. So some are questioning their gender, not so much deeply because of a rooted internal angst, but you look at the world around you, you see, I'm not like them. I don't fit. And so you begin to wonder, maybe I need to change. Well, here's the truth. In scripture, King David was a poet and played the harp. And the same token, Deborah was a prophet, a judge, and a leader in Israel. And Lydia in the New Testament is a successful business leader. Most gender stereotypes come from the culture, not the Bible. And so we have to own, even in our Christian thinking, that we can fall prey to cultural stereotypes and actually think that they're biblical when they're not. The scriptures call men and women to become more like Jesus. Notice the fruit of the Spirit. It's love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness. These are character qualities, not gender stereotypes. You'll find that God is after our character development more than if we like to bake or hunt, right? And so Christian men and women are called to look and live more like Jesus. And I'll be honest, I'm male, I don't like to hunt, and I definitely don't like to camp. And I like fashion, and I like design, and I like to cook, and I bake a mean sourdough, and it's really darn good. It's like really, really good. And those aren't feminine qualities. I'm like, huh? They're not feminine qualities. Our culture is influencing how we think, and so we need to be really careful when we use phrases like Christian manhood and a Christian sisterhood. We need to be really careful that we're not imploring people to look like our cultural sway. And actually, when we say Christian in front of everything, we simply mean more like Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, those kinds of things, and not like real Christian men tear things down and build them up and they get dirty. Well, if you want to get dirty, get dirty. Fine, congratulations. I'm playing on it because we don't even think how impacted we are in our thinking when it comes to culture, and we can confuse genuine biblical calls to manhood and womanhood and cultural sway. So what do we do? Secondly, we need to make a distinction on whether or not the person I'm talking to claims to follow Jesus. So because this conversation is happening in the marketplace, I think we have to have very clear filters in view if you're a follower of Jesus. So if you're a follower of Jesus and someone is not a follower of Jesus, I can hold my biblical worldview, but I'm not going to expect you to hold a biblical worldview. As much as I would love for you to follow the way of Jesus, and I actually do believe that God's way is the best way to live, at the same token, I'm going to be honest and loving and caring and supportive of you and understand that if you don't follow Jesus, why in the world would you follow his worldview? Even though I think it's the best way to live. So this is where we have to be, like Jesus, humble. So apart from Jesus, I have no power to change, by the way. Real lasting change comes from the power of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And unless I'm given a renewed heart, a new future, a new hope, a new presence, how in the world am I going to combat my own desires? Apart from Christ, I can do nothing. So what I'm going to focus on is the beauty of Jesus. I'm going to listen to you and all that you are or all that you hope to be. And I just want you to see the beauty of Jesus. And Jesus, my friends, can convince. He's convincing. So if I'll introduce people to the person of Jesus and let Jesus do the work, then we can have clear conversations of what it means to follow Jesus. But same token, if someone says that they're following Jesus, I'm going to call them to follow Jesus. And that's not with a finger point. That's with humility. And I'm going to listen well, and I'm going to bring up scripture, and I'm going to support, because I can tell you, in this community and in every Christian community, there are friends, brothers, sisters, who are wondering about gender expression and gender identity and the feeling of I don't fit. At the deepest level, I don't fit. And I can't just shake it. And learning a new hobby doesn't change it. I just don't feel at home. And so what I'm gonna do is not be stereotypical and judgmental, but I'm gonna listen with love. And at the same token, if you follow Jesus, I'm gonna hold you to that. But I'm doing this with humility, because following the way of Jesus is hard. And we're all growing in it, right? So before I take the speck out of your eye, I'm gonna look at the big old 2x4 in my own eye. And this might not be the issue or the challenge for me, but I have other challenges. So I'm gonna treat you with dignity and respect. I'm gonna welcome you into this Christian home. I'm gonna treat you like a brother and sister, and we're gonna walk through it together. Does that seem like the typical Christian response? I wish it was, but it's so rare. It's shoot first and think later. And that's just not the way of Jesus. So because there are stereotypes doesn't mean we need to fall into them. That's what I'm saying. We can be a different people if we think about what we think about, and I hope we would. Okay, so should a Christian change or transition from their gender? The answer is no. Because Jesus has created us as engendered being. We're embodied people. We're not just spirits floating out there. No, part of God, how God made me is connected to, I can listen and I'll walk with, but But and there may be a feeling of incongruence, and I'm going to respect that. But at the same token, the Bible, and a lot of science, by the way, has given more evidence to support biological sex determines who we are, male and female. Even in Europe right now, we're chasing fast forward in America, but even Europe has slowed down and has limited or banning the use of therapies and surgeries for young people because it's like, everyone feels something, let's just change it for them. And I think people are realizing, whoa, wait a minute, there are repercussions we haven't even thought about. And so what we want to do is be loving and careful, but a Jesus follower is made in the image of God. And so we want to encourage and support them as our brother or sister fights a real struggle. And we're not going to make light of it. Okay, let's get to the real one. What about using people's preferred pronouns? Because this is the more common question, and it's a real-time conversation in the church. And so as you're going to see, we have both groups here in our church. Some Christians will not use someone else's preferred pronouns on the basis of truth. And I'm going to argue for both. They're saying, to do that, if I'm going to speak a word to someone and it doesn't match their biological sex, that would be lying to them. And so why would I lie? I shouldn't lie to people or confuse them. I want to share good news, but it starts with the truth. And I'm not going to endorse their false ideology. And if I use he when they're really a she, I'm feeding into something that might be hurtful to them. And so there are lots of reasons why a Jesus follower would say, I'm not going to do that. And we want to be respectful. Those are all valid reasons worth thinking about. And often that you just find a concession. I will call you by a name, but I'm not going to use the pronouns as some sort of compromise to help. And that's one way of doing it. Others will on the basis of grace or hospitality. And this person is doing it recognizing there was a time when gender and sex were synonyms. That is not today. They're actually used in different ways. Language is flexible and it changes over the time. So it just because I use someone's pronoun doesn't mean I agree with their ideology, but out of respect, because they're a coworker or I'm over them, out of respect, I work at a company and HR department says that the policy is we will do this, and this is how we work in our company. Out of respect for HR, out of respect for the person, I'm going to use their pronoun, and hopefully we'll grow in friendship, and in growing with friendship and hospitality, I can introduce Jesus because I'm meeting them where they're at. And how are they going to listen to the good news if I'm not even going to address them in the way that they've asked? So it seems like hospitality matters. Again, I can argue both. Now, I've already shared where I am in that, right? I'll do it again if you missed it. I err on the side of hospitality. I want to remove any barrier that's going to keep someone from hearing and falling in love with the beauty of Jesus. And it is okay to disagree with me. The grid that we use is really important. Is this use of pronouns in our church something to die for? Am I no longer a Christian if I respectfully use someone's changed pronouns? Have I lost the faith? It's important that you see where I'm at. I don't think I've lost the faith. Is this a divide over? If there's some of us who will and some of us who won't, is this an issue where we shouldn't worship together because it's incongruent and unhelpful? Man, I hope not. I don't see it that way, but if you see it that way, I have to be aware of that. Is this a debate about? Is this something we're just supposed to continue to talk about and wrestle with so we can come to some consensus in the future that we all agree upon? That could be the case. Or is this simply a decide personally? Like, as Jesus people, can we in good conscience make the decision ourselves and not have to worry if my brother or sister in Jesus is going to down me for it? Here's the irony. Knowing this was coming up, I've had people send me links to messages, you ought to watch this, on both sides. And I answered them both, thank you. And I watched them both. Thank you. So in our community group, we had a robust discussion, and we have people in our community on both sides thoroughly convinced and with deep conviction about I will or I won't. And I think it's beautiful. We have dessert and hug and go home and care about each other, and no one's bailed and said, I can't believe this group. We've chosen the higher road where we listen to one another and we respect each other. And that's what I'm calling us to do. Because the key is always, how do you see and feel weight about that issue? And I want to meet you where you're at. That was a lightweight message. Okay, so what do we do? We are gonna, in a moment, respond to God in worship. This is one of the loudest conversations in our culture. And I know where it's going. It's gonna get louder and louder and louder. And can we just grow up and become the people who are peace in the situation, speaking the truth, but always in love? Because this is impacting policy, it's dividing families, and it should not divide the house of God. We are here to help people experience life in Jesus. That's why we exist as a church. That's our calling. We're good news people, which means we listen at the right time. We share. We prepare ourselves to speak the truth, but always with grace, so that people will follow Jesus, because the world's hopeless apart from Jesus. And I'm not going to change someone at the deepest level, but I know the one who will. So we're not without hope. Because in Christ, anything can change. And what seems impossible to us is always possible with God. And so we come back and we worship Him. I want to invite the band to come up. And this is the end of our like kind of 8-week interlude. Next week will be quote unquote normal. And we're going to look at Jesus's entry. The timing of this is beautiful. We're having this real important discussion, but now we're moving our hearts and our minds and our thoughts towards the death and resurrection of Jesus. Next week, we're gonna worship with abandon. We're gonna give God all of our praise because the King came riding on a donkey, and He's the King of the world, and He should be the King of our hearts. And so we're gonna worship, and then we're gonna lament and weep, and we think about the price that Jesus paid for us. And then we're going to rejoice because He's risen. And He's risen indeed. This is the day I'll say it. I won't say it on Easter. But I'm non-contrarian in that regard. I'll say it the day after Easter. But we're a people of resurrection. He's alive and He's changing lives. So it is possible to feel one way today and by the grace of Jesus, live in a way that honors God despite my feelings. It's possible. So when we stand to our feet, and let's take a moment and just give thanks to God that His truth remains. And now let's lean our hearts and our voices back to God. If you'd like prayer for anything this morning, our prayer team is always available to your left, to the right. It doesn't have to be about this issue, especially today. Hey, by coming forward, you're not saying, I'm having questions about gender, right? Because the problem with doing topical messages is like, oh, shoot, I better not respond today for prayer because people are going to think I'm a hot mess. No. We respond to God always just because He's worthy. And prayer changes things. I'm going to share a testimony next Sunday that's going to blow you away. I'm going to save it. But God changes things in real time. And he could change your circumstance in a moment. God, we look to You. Who else has the words of life other than You, Jesus? No one. And so we pour our allegiance towards You, no matter how we feel, no matter what we think. We come, whole person, body, soul, spirit, we come to You and present ourselves. Lord, we want to live as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to You. It's the least we could do, God, is give our hearts and minds and strength to You, because You've given everything to bring us back to life with God. So, Lord, You know our needs this morning. Meet us right where we're at. God, You know the struggles. Meet us right where we're at. Lord, as brothers and sisters take steps of faith to receive prayer, time and time again, when you saw people take a step of faith, you met them even before they got there and touched them. I pray that you'll just receive them and their trust in you. We love you, Lord. You're worthy of all praise. So we worship you as King. All God's people said, amen.